Hello, I'm back to share with you more about the Teachable Woman podcast. Please subscribe on teachablewoman.com, our website, and also on YouTube. Yes, we have a YouTube channel. Search for us at The Teachable Woman. We are hoping to monetize our website through subscriptions. So, subscribing online is simple. Simply join the mailing list. You will receive an email powered by Podpage to verify your email address. This is done for safety and security purposes. Once verified, you will receive notifications for every new podcast. If subscribing on YouTube, go to the channel, click the black subscribe button, and it's done. Thanks for listening. Hello, everybody. We're just about 8 weeks away from July 25th to the 27th and the women's retreat. We're asking that everyone register at teachablewoman.com, and we've made it simple for you. You can pay in two easy payments. The hotel cutoff date is July the 11th, so register now and don't wait. We want to count you in, and we want to prepare properly for you. Some of you are still seeking a roommate, and we'll try to accommodate you if you just send an email. Your registration covers a lot of things: four delicious meals, all your conference materials, women's health sessions, exercise classes, financial wellness sessions, breakout sessions for single, married, and widowed women, and so many other things. So don't delay. Register now, and we'll see you there.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Teachable Woman podcast. We're so excited to be back with you again today. We want to thank you for listening. Thank you for allowing us to come into your homes, ride with you while you're in the car, or be with you while you're taking your walks and just allowing us to share. So thank you so much for that. I have with us the one and only Mrs. Deanna P. Cherry, author. Now we're going to say author because she has just finished her first book, and we are most excited about that. Tell us a little bit about your book before we get back into relationships.
Well, the book is Seekers of Righteousness: A Man Who Obeyed God and a Woman Who Served. And it really is a chronological story of our ministry, how we were called, and how the ministry was developed. We were always asked, "What caused your church to grow so fast? And how did you handle this? And how did you handle that?" And so this book contains a lot of the answers to the questions that people have had through the years. In the back, you've got pictures of my husband when he was in the military, when he was in the army band, us when we went to Alaska. Just really some amazing things. And my light just took a dip. I'm going to have to make an adjustment here. I'll be right back.
No worries. All right.
Sorry about that. You all know that we're
No
playing. It's
worries.
unscripted,
That's right.
and it's just one of
And
the
things
things
go
that
wrong,
happen.
right?
That's right. So, both of us, we're just playing little old women, and we're doing the best we can. But that's Seekers of Righteousness. I'm so excited about it. And it's a
Well, we are excited too.
chronological picture of our ministry.
All right. Well, excellent. Well, we will look forward to reading that. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Okay. So, in our last session, we talked about relationships, and we're going to continue to talk about relationships. One of the things that we said, as teachers of good things, was just to remind us that our first relationship began with God who created us. And as we established that relationship, we understood that he knew us before he placed us in the womb of our mothers. And before we came forth out of that womb, he had a purpose and a plan for our lives, just as he did with Jeremiah. We use Jeremiah chapter 1 as our reference, starting at verse number 5, because Jesus, well, the word tells us that Before he formed him in the belly, he knew him. And before he came forth out of the womb, that he ordained him and sanctified him a prophet to all the nations. So we recognize that that was not just for Jeremiah, that before he formed all of us in the wombs of our mothers, that he knew us, meaning that he knows who we are. He knows what his purpose and plan is for our lives.
Yes.
And so as a result of that, we wanted to make sure that we as women understood the first primary and most important relationship, which is to have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and to make sure that we don't disregard the value of that relationship, because from that relationship, all other relationships are formed, or not formed, I should say. And then we briefly talked about how some of us either learn to trust or distrust from who raised us,
right?
Whether or not we even knew that we had a savior. And so many of our steps that we've taken have been steps that were ordered by us and not steps that were ordered by the Lord. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. All right, Miss Jerry.
All right. Hoping you would give me a lead in, like, what do you think or what? I was having a ball listening to you.
All right. What do you think, Miss Jerry?
I think that the first session set the tone. And I think that now we're going to dig a little deeper, as I believe we're going to take a look at the woman at the well, who talk about relationships. She was a person who had many, many, many relationships. I think Jesus read her heart, read her life, read her story, opened up everything about her. And she, as a result of that, she witnessed to many, many, and many came to know Jesus Christ. She wanted them to see a man who told her all there was to know about her. And so I think that the story of the woman at the well, I don't know exactly which direction you were planning to go with it, but I think that that story says to us, regardless of the relationships that we have had, good, bad, or indifferent, God can touch us. And our lives can make a difference, regardless of what we've done, the bad relationships, the ungodly relationships. I don't think any of us could exceed the woman at the well in terms of what she went through. And so the story of the woman at the well should speak to our hearts and say to us, it doesn't make any difference what we've done in the eyes of God. Once he touches us, cleanses us, and makes a difference in our lives, we then can make a difference in the lives of others.
Amen. That is an excellent lead-in. And that story is in John chapter 4, and it begins at verse number 7 and goes on through to the end of that particular chapter. The woman at the well, I think her story is an excellent example of what Mrs. Cherry had shared with us in our first session on relationships, about how the founding Episcopal pastor had this discussion with God about, first gave God his guidelines. I'm going to sort of let you drive. Let me scoot over and you can ride with me. Because Jesus asked her for water to give him to drink, was his request. And she went on to tell him about how his nation of people and her nation of people really didn't get along. So in essence, why are you asking me for water? Get your own water.
Right.
And you know, there was all of this discussion back and forth with Jesus, and he had just asked her for water. And in the process of that, he told her that she had had five husbands and the man she was with was not hers. And, you know, none of us tell how many people we've been with in our life. That's our secret. That's why she was able to be so excited about, come see a man who knows all about me, who told me all about me. There are some things we just like to keep close to the vest. That's our business. But Jesus just exposed it all. I already know, sis, you had five husbands and the one you're with is not yours. How did he know that? He's just a man who showed up at the well and asked me for water. And then Jesus told her, ask her, does she want to drink of the living water? Because after she drank the living water, she would thirst no more. Mm-hmm. Now, we would probably think of that like, wow, I don't have to come down to this well anymore. I don't have to tote any water back up to the village. Yeah, give me the living water so I don't have to, you know, get thirsty and come get water anymore. But Jesus was speaking about the fact that there's our souls thirst. And our souls are always thirsting for the relationship with our Creator God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And when she went to the village and she said, come see a man that told me all about me, the Bible says that the people believed because of the story of the woman, and they came. So she had enough of a relationship with the people in the village that she could get them to come to see Jesus. So when they met him, and then they convinced him to stay with them for 2 days while he expounded on the scriptures with them. And then they told the woman, now that we've met him for ourselves, we believe on him because of what he said, not necessarily what you said. But the point is, once she met the Savior, she made sure that everybody in her community had a shot. She said, come see a man. Now, interestingly enough, as young women, older women, middle-aged women, wherever we fit in the category, when we meet a man, what is our first response? In our minds, oftentimes we're wondering if he's going to be the guy for me. Is this the man for me? And yet our job is always primarily to be a witness, right? We were created to be witnesses for the Lord. That's our sole job, is to be a witness. And if we could share the witness first, rather than trying to share ourselves, because this woman at the well shared herself with 5 husbands and a man that wasn't hers. And it's just an indication that until we meet our Savior, we're just out there looking for love, oftentimes in the wrong places. That's why the count was so high. But once she met the man who was able to tell her all about herself, it caused her to live the purpose of her creation, which was to go be a witness. And she called the men of her community to come see a man. Now, the purpose of her creation is no different than the purpose of ours. We are to be a witness. And the men that we meet should first know the Savior before they get to know us. Amen. And we may find that there is husband material after he meets the Savior. Not before. So we oftentimes try to test the husband material theory before we make sure that he's met the man who knows all about us. And what's so interesting is her terminology. Come see a man who told me all about me. Yeah. And what we want you to know is that Jesus knows all about you. And when you introduce the man to the Savior, the Savior can tell that man all about you, and he can help that man become the man that you need, if that is the choice. And so I don't want us to forget the importance of the relationship first that we have with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the importance of allowing Jesus to lead us through all the relationships that we have, and the value of living out our creed, which is to be a witness. All right, take it away, Miss Jerry.
Okay, you know, this story always blesses me, because sometimes we look at the sin. This woman, oh my God, how could she have had all these men, you know, and she's still shacking up with another one. But I wrote a long time ago, I wrote in my Bible, don't see the sin and miss the story. And the story is, because of her witness, Jesus decided to stay in that place for two more days. So she opened a door of opportunity for Jesus to witness, right in line with what you're saying. She wasn't fixated on, oh my God, he knows my sin. He saw my sin. He's going to tell the whole world. No, 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 no. She was touched by his ministry, that he knew her. And I love that. I want you to know that when you change, it doesn't mean that people are going to believe you. It doesn't mean that people are going to accept you. But I love what it says in verse number 41, because she introduced them to Jesus. She told them that she perceived that he was a prophet. And verse number 41 of chapter number 4 says, and many more believed because of his own words. And they said to the woman, so don't ever get discouraged by what people say after you witness to them. Mm-hmm. They said unto the woman, now we believe. Now we believe, not because of what you said, woman, who done slept with all these people. Mm-hmm. Not because of what you say, but we have heard him ourselves.
Yes.
And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So your little witness, your little testimony doesn't mean a thing. But the thing is, we testify so that they can hear him and so that they can believe, because they heard him for themselves. And they know that he is the Savior of the world, not because of what we've done. And so it says to us, it doesn't matter if people receive us, don't receive us. That's irrelevant. Share the good news of the Savior. Share the good news of Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God, and they will hear him and believe because of what he says to them, what he speaks to their heart. So this is an exciting story, and it should encourage us. Don't be come fixated on what you have done, what I have done, what I didn't do. I should have, would have, could have, you know, that's in the past. But what we have to do is learn to live in the now, live in the future and the now. That's all we have left. The past is just that. It's past. It's gone. It's not coming back. It's like our husbands. They're gone. Like it or not, they are in the past. And so what we have to do now is live our lives presenting Jesus as he is and causing others to say, now we believe. Not because of your saying, but we have heard him ourselves. And that should be the goal of all of us. As long as people hear him for themselves, hey, that's all we want you to do, because what we say, how we say it, is really irrelevant. So that's what I get from the story. It doesn't matter what you've done, but it matters what you are doing right now and what you will do in the future.
Amen. I am most impressed with the fact that whatever her witness was, it was enough to get them to follow her.
Yeah.
When she said, come see a man. And I am impressed by the fact that she didn't leave her experience at the well, because she could have just said, you know, well, he knows way too much, and I'm not about to let him go discuss my life with the general public.
Yeah.
But once she received him, she was able to tell them, come see a man. And once we've received Jesus for who he is, there should be no shame in our game to share him with others. And oftentimes we don't, you know, we don't want to come off preachy, and we don't want our first words to be, do you know Jesus? We want to be cool with it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we really need to be about come see a man.
Yes.
Come see a man who knows all about me. So we hope that this will help us in terms of our direction, that it will help us in terms of how we proceed. As Mrs. Cherry said, it doesn't matter what has happened in the past. Nobody's counting your business. It is your business. But there is, from this moment forward, and now I know how to proceed, because the woman at the well had introduced herself first 5 times and a 6th time with the man she was with. And it didn't work. But when she introduced Jesus, it worked and it changed the community. And whether or not somebody says, well, it's not because of you, it was because of her.
Yes.
It was because she was at that well, and it was because she was willing to go back to help someone else.
Yes.
To make sure that they met the Savior. So, but the Bible tells us that some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. We just have to do our jobs. We may be in the planting business when we meet someone. We may be in the watering business, or we may be at the moment that God is prepared to give the increase in that person's life. But none of it is to our credit. It's all to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we still have to do our job, right?
Right. And wherever we are, the bottom line is present Jesus as he is. That's what's relevant. Out of your own experience with him, present him as he is. How dare we get saved, changed, delivered, and hide it? Don't want to share it. You know, that's not right. And it does not make God pleased. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of talk about the one who saved you, redeemed you, made you different, made you change to be unchangeable. Be excited about sharing with others, not being obnoxious, but by your life and your living and your everyday witness, you can present Jesus as he is.
Amen. And love is the order of the day.
Yes.
When we share Christ, it's got to be because we love our Savior and because we love humankind. Yes. The Bible tells us that we know that we pass from death to life when we love the brethren.
Yes.
So we just have to be willing to love one another and to care enough about the quality of someone's life such that they might know the Savior that we serve. All right. Well, we are so excited to have shared this time with you on part two of relationships. We're going to come back. Thank you again for sharing your time with us, for tuning into this podcast. Share it with others, and we will see you on our next session.
Amen.
All right. Bye-bye.
Listeners and subscribers, we're asking that you re-listen and share the podcast with others. Don't keep this good news to yourself. Re-listen and see if there is something that you hear that you missed earlier. Share and encourage a friend. We pray that these podcasts have been beneficial to you. So re-listen, listen, and share.